Welcome to Island Baptist Church's Bible Study in the Acts of Jesus, Lesson 4.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to our, I guess it's our fourth installment of our, more or less, our Sunday school lesson. I added this study here in the middle of the week. Has been on Acts. This is now, like I said, our fourth time through this. Last time we were together, we didn't look at Acts, though. We looked at this question of, is this the last days? Are these the last days? And if you didn't get a chance to see that, you might want to back up and check that out. Acts of Jesus is the beginning of the title, but the question, we didn't look at Acts. We took a hiatus from that just so that we could consider this question, is this the last of the last days? And we answered that, I believe, definitively, or actually the Bible answers that question definitively, and the answer is no, it's not. The last of the last days. These are days business as usual for the church, which is being filled with the Spirit, which is going to be the topic of our study today and for next couple of times together. And living by the Spirit, serving the Lord, being filled with the Spirit so that He can guide us through these times. And these are different times, but they're nothing that took the Lord by surprise in any way. So He's got information for us. He's got understanding for us, and we can know exactly what He wants us to do and the direction that He wants us to go and the steps we need to take and the people we're supposed to be. Even though times and things have changed on us, nothing has changed for the church. We're here to serve and to glorify Him and be filled by Him and be used by Him and the gifts He's given to us. So we're going to be in Acts. So if you got a Bible with you, I hope you do. Turn with me to the book of Acts. We're in the first chapter. We haven't gone very far. In fact, we've made it all the way down in four studies, only down to verse 4. We're going to be there in verse 4 in just a bit. But I want to begin with just a question for you. What is a full life? What does it mean to live a full life? Jesus promised us full life in the book of Acts. I'm sorry. He does in the book of Acts, but He does in John 10, if you'll remember. John 10:10, there on your screen, He said, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And I came that they may have life and have it abundantly, or have it literally to the full. Jesus promised full life. But how do we know when this happens? How do we know? According to pollster George Gallup, one of the chief needs of people is, he says, quote, the need to believe that life is meaningful and has purpose. Jesus has come to do that in every way. But how do we know what that is? And how do we know when we're experiencing it? And Peanuts comic strip, there was a conversation between Lucy and Charlie Brown. And Lucy said that life is like a cruise liner in a folding chair on a cruise liner. She said some people like to take their folding chair and put it near the front of the cruise liner so they can see where they're going. And others like to go near the rear of the cruise liner so they can see where they've been. And then others like to take their folding chair and put it somewhere near the middle so they can see where they currently are. And Charlie Brown kind of stood there for a minute and he looked down at his hands. He says, well, I can't even get my folding chair unfolded, which is... people everywhere feel this kind of dissatisfaction about the way their lives are unfolding or not unfolding. And maybe our times that we're in even more point to that, even make it more evident. Great Russian novelist spoke very clear words here. He says something that speaks to me, at least. He says, surely I haven't suffered simply that I may manure the soil of the future for someone else. Wow, how graphic are those words. I mean, manure the soul of the future. Is that all that it is? Is that all my purpose is? And very good question. As we've seen, there's no such thing as a full, meaningful life outside of Christ. There's just not. But is it possible, even in Christ, for us to live a life that isn't full? We saw a verse, I think, last time in our study of rewards this past Sunday night together, and I think it's a verse worth repeating and for us to consider. Look at what this says. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives a prize? Run in such a way that you may win. You need to know what's going on. You know what the real rules are. And life is very short. Eternity is super long. And so you got one shot at this. You got one shot. So you need to be careful. We need to be very careful. It's possible to miss it. It's possible to live the have the abundant life of Christ and not fully exercise it, not fully realize it. I truly believe that. So what is a full life for a believer? Well, I think Paul sums it up in a prayer that he makes for the Ephesian church here in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. Look at this one carefully. What is a full life? I think he says it right here. For this reason, I bow the knees before the Father. So he says, this is why I'm praying. This is what I pray for the church. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with the power through his Holy Spirit, the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So these are all things saying, this will happen, this will happen, this will happen, so that, and then he brings a summation here at the end. Take a look. You'd be strengthened with power through his Holy Spirit, the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with, for what reason? That, again, he's getting to this conclusion. You may be able to, so you're strengthened so that you can comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and depth, to know the love of Christ, which surpasses all knowledge. These are all, again, means to an end. What's the end? That you may be filled to all the fullness of God. See, I'm praying that the Holy Spirit would strengthen you, that you, so that you could comprehend, and that comprehending Christ's love, the final conclusion is that you'd be filled up to all the fullness of God. That's a full life. What is a full life? It's a full life. It's full. And that's the position from which the abundant life in Christ is lived from. That fullness of God, being filled with him and all of his purposes. And so in our study of Acts, we've come to a very important crossroads. And we're only in verse 4, but the crossroads in Acts happens right here. This is where the big change takes place, and a very pivotal place as far as understanding the book of Acts is concerned. And so we come to this place that defines what the church is. And what is the church? It is the body of people on the earth in whom the Spirit of God dwells. And Jesus brings that here to our attention very early on, and to the disciples' attention very early on. It is a pivotal place in Acts, and it's the defining place in Acts. It defines what the church is and what they do. And so let's take a look here. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 through 8. Read it together. Gathering together, it says Jesus did. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard from me. So he's been talking about this. We're going to see this in just a minute. I've been talking to you, and now the time has come. For John baptized you with water. It's just a physical thing, not a spiritual thing. But you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Again, God, John immersed in water, right? Baptism means immersion. Sorry, guys. You don't immerse. It doesn't mean that. And therefore, you will also, he says, be immersed, just likewise, in the Holy Spirit. Not sprinkled with the Holy Spirit, not poured with the Holy Spirit, shoved under with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. They understood that. So, not fully, but they're going to understand it for sure, experientially. So, when they had come together, here's verse 6, he's gathered them together. They were asking, Lord, is it at this time that you will be restoring the kingdom of Israel? Is this the end of the end? The same question we're asking right now. The answer is no, it's not. It wasn't then, it isn't now. It's business as usual, and here's where the business starts. Watch. It is not for you to know the times or the epochs which the Father has fixed for his own authority, but you will receive. Here's the issue. Here's what we're about. Here's what we're to be doing. Here's what we can concern ourselves with. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. That's business as usual. That's the church taking care of business. How to take care of business? By being filled with the Holy Spirit. You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. You will receive power by the Holy Spirit, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. That is what we're doing. That's what are you doing? What's your church doing? What's your church up to? What's your church trying to accomplish? That's what we're doing, because that's what the Spirit is doing. And that's where he is today. He's working and moving. He's been doing that since the first century. He's doing all the way now in the 21st century. And he's going to continue to do that until the end of the days comes. And it's coming. It is. So first, let me just say, an accurate understanding of the Holy Spirit in Pentecost is essential to understanding the book of Acts. we don't understand what happens here in the first chapter. We're not going to understand the things that proceed from here. We're not going to understand what the church is supposed to be doing today. So we're going to be spending several studies together over this topic. It's going to be you'll receive power, part one, part two, part three. We're going to be doing several, as long as we have time together. And I'm not sure what's going to happen here. I know this whole COVID-19 thing is questions of when are we going to have church again? When are we going to be back together again? I think it may be slow. It may be some of us coming together early on, and then more. It may be some of us who are more able to get out, maybe more or less of a risk, can come together, and then some of us who are more risk can't do it. So we may be doing these things online for some of us for quite a while, and so we may have made a change here. I don't know. Pastor Greg and myself, all of us together, are asking God what's next for us, and it may be that we've hit a new paradigm here. It may be that some of the stuff we do is some of the stuff I'm doing right now, a lot more online. Listen, we're having this time of year. Here's our averages as far as church is concerned. We usually have a lot of people in the winter. We run around 650 or 700 during the January, February, the 1st of March. And then our numbers drop off in March and April and May to around 200, 220. As far as the church is concerned, we go around 250 through the summer and then back down to about 200 in the fall. And then starting in end of October, more or less, we start ramping up 300, 350, somewhere in there, running all the way through the end of December. And then we go back into this 500, 650, 700. So this seasonal time of our church, we've seen it moves around just like our seasons do here, just like our resort environment does. And we're fine with that. I mean, that's where God's called us. It's the ministry God has called us to. The interesting thing is, though, that during this COVID-19 crisis, as far as those that are, quote, attending church with us, like, for instance, this Bible study, as an example, I teach a men's Sunday school class, and this is what I would be teaching to the men's Sunday school class. And this time of year, we're probably running 9, 10, 12, 15 guys in there on a Sunday. Whereas the people attending this Bible study, on average, this is only our fourth time together, but our average is, and we'll see how this one plays out, but our average is well over 100. So my Sunday school class has gone from 15 to 100. Wow. What an opportunity. Linda McConico's class, she's been teaching online, and you've seen her on our Facebook page. Her class is in the hundreds, 115, 120 ladies and guys checking out the Bible study that she's teaching, an expansion of the ministry. Our Sunday morning services, like I said, would typically be 220 people. Now we're gathering together, but not in a building. We're gathering in our homes. We're gathering in whatever places we're able to see this. Our weekly services, including this Bible study, are running well over 500 people. So the work of the church is expanding. It really is. And it may be that we continue this kind of work. I'm not saying we're not going to go back to our building. I believe we're going to do that. I think it's going to be, in some ways, piecemeal, just looking at an uncertain future with, unprophetic. This is a nonprofit organization. Don't forget that. I'm not a prophet in any way. I have no idea what the future holds. God hadn't told me. He just told me to roll with the punches. And that this is the main thing is the main thing, which is, of course, reaching people and being filled with the Spirit. But what's coming next for the church is going to be, it's going to be interesting. But I will say so far, during this weird time, things have really gotten better for a lot of people. As far as our church is concerned, I think it's true for a lot of churches. They've seen a lot more people visiting their churches, even albeit over a medium like what we're talking, like I'm talking to you right now through. And so it's been a bad thing in some ways. It's been a great thing in other ways. People are being reached for Christ. Lives are being changed. Guys, that's what we're about. Who cares how we do it? Who cares? God, we need to be constantly asking God, what's the next thing for us? And if it's not the thing we're used to, well, you know what? Awesome. It's awesome. So here we are, not doing what we thought we'd be doing, but doing good. Praise God. So let's get back to what we're looking at here. So such an important topic, the Holy Spirit, understanding the Holy Spirit and what takes place here at the Pentecost is essential to understanding the book of Acts. And so let me also say that since our purpose here, we can only be accomplished through being filled by the Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit. My prayer, and I hope your prayer will also be that we'll be doing those things, hearing from Him, so critical for the church at all times, especially at this time. So back to verse 4, there Jesus says he spoke often to his disciples about this whole issue of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And just as a point of reference, to go back to the night he was betrayed. So we're just talking about 30 days before this. I don't know exactly when Jesus gathered the disciples together, but not long before he ascends, he gathers them together and reminds them, listen, I told you, the Spirit's coming. He calls him the helper here, or the counselor. He says, when the helper comes, it's John 15:26. It's, of course, there on your screen. Whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. He's coming. I'm promising you. And now I'm reminding you again, he says here in Acts. I'm reminding you again, he's coming. Don't go anywhere. Don't do anything. You know a lot of stuff. You've experienced a lot of stuff, but you're not, apart from the filling of the Holy Spirit, you're not ready to do this thing that God has called you to do. But when the Spirit comes, you will receive power, enabling, think of that. Not just I have power, but wisdom, understanding, abilities. Let's consider, you know, let's before we get into a lot of that, let's first of all consider the Holy Spirit is not a new thing. Even though we call him the key to the New Testament, he is the key to the New Testament, but he isn't new at all. The Holy Spirit is, people, we have a tendency to think, or New Testament people tend to think that he wasn't really involved in the Old Testament. Well, that's not true at all. In fact, even the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit and filling all the people was something that God had promised way back there in Old Testament. We're talking about 800 years before Jesus, Joel was written. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. God speaking, it will come about after this that I will pour out my Spirit on all mankind. Hello. That's the New Testament. That's the book of Acts. Jesus saying the same thing. The promise of the Father. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. See, this is something that hadn't happened before. A Spirit had been, the Holy Spirit had been, as we're going to see, involved in the Old Testament. But he'd only been involved in certain people's lives for certain situations, and he would come and go. So he was only, as we're going to see, in leaders' lives, like prophets and teachers and priests and kings. But he wasn't on the regular clientele, as this prophecy here in Joel is talking about. He will be on all mankind, all flesh, your sons and daughters, young people, prophesy. Your old men, dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. He says it's going to be universal. The Holy Spirit wasn't universal. He was active in the whole Old Testament, but he wasn't universal. But nonetheless, our understanding of the Holy Spirit comes to the New Testament. Listen, it was already spoken of in the Old Testament. I've said this before, but there's really nothing new in the New Testament. I'm not trying to downgrade the New Testament. You understand that God's been saying this stuff all along. New Testament is just a codification, a reminder, and a fruition of all the things that God has promised. But he's been talking about the Holy Spirit and what he would do, and demonstrating to us what he would do all along. Consider several of these places in the Old Testament where the Holy Spirit that we know in the New was doing the same thing in the Old. For instance, we know him in the New Testament as being a teacher. Watch this in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah 9:20. That's a long time before the New Testament was written. You gave your good spirit, what? To teach. To instruct them. Yeah, the Holy Spirit's always been the same. He's always been doing the same thing. Not as universally as he's done it in the New Testament. But he's always done this. Your manna, he says, you did not withhold from your mouth, and you gave them water. Talking about the experience in the wilderness as they came out of Egypt. So he was a teacher. He was he was the manifestation of God's presence. Listen to how David speaks of the Holy Spirit. Where can I go from your Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? The presence of God on earth has always been the Holy Spirit, the representative of God on earth. Has always been the Holy Spirit. It wasn't like the Holy Spirit comes in the book of Acts because he's never been here before. No. He's been here. He's just not been with us in the way that he came to be here in Acts and in Pentecost and is today in the New Testament church. But he was always here. So he was a teacher. He was a manifestation of God's presence. He spoke through men as we expect him to do today. So he did then. They made their hearts like flint. So this is God speaking through Zechariah about the past and how they rejected God, and how in particular they rejected the Holy Spirit. They made their hearts like flint so that they could not hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his spirit through the prophets. Therefore, great wrath came upon the Lord. Jesus says the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Listen, people have been blaspheming the Holy Spirit for a long time. It was nothing new. It was nothing new to reject the Spirit of God and the direction of God in their lives. It was something that had been going on. It had been happening as a result of rejecting the Spirit this whole time. So he spoke through men. He could also be grieved. We understand he's grieved in the New Testament. It says it very plainly in Ephesians. But he could be grieved in the Old. Isaiah 63:10. But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he turned himself to become their enemy, and he fought against them. He could be grieved. He enabled people to do things that they couldn't otherwise do. For instance, we talk about, and we're going to probably get into this whole list of what it means to be gifted by the Holy Spirit and what are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I will just say this, there's no exhaustive list. In fact, here's the exhaustive list for you. I'll give you just a broad heading. The gifting of the Holy Spirit is he will gift you to do whatever he wants. Whatever is needed. Not what you want. Not go around and say, well, the Holy Spirit's going to make me do this. Or not. No, he's not. You got to tell the Holy Spirit to do what he... No, you're not. But you will be gifted. The church will be gifted. The ministers of God, wherever they find themselves, will be gifted to do whatever God wants them to do. And what is that? It literally can be anything. Notice, God gifted people to be craftsmen. What is this? The Lord called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, and the son of Hur, out of the tribe of Judah, and he filled him with the Spirit of God. You might think, oh, well, he's going to be speaking in tongues, or he's going to be prophesying, or he's going to be whatever. Notice, the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all craftsmanship. He built stuff. So the Holy Spirit can enable us to understand how to build things. The Holy Spirit can enable you to do anything. Anything. God built this whole world, it says, through the Spirit, through his Spirit. He spoke it into being. So he can enable you through the Spirit to do anything. So you don't just call on the Spirit for quote-unquote religious things. Everything is spiritual, guys. Everything is religious. Because everything goes to God. And our whole lives should be revolving around God. So we should be calling on the Holy Spirit for everything. God, give me wisdom in my finances. Well, here we are in a financial crisis, right? Some of us don't have jobs. Some of us have had our wages cut. Other things are going on. Hopefully you got your stimulus check this week. I don't know. I did. I'm really grateful for that. But listen, God gives you wisdom. We may think somehow part of life is secular and part of life is not. And that just simply isn't true. Holy Spirit wants to be involved in all matters of your life. If you're having trouble with your finances, ask God to give you his wisdom through his Holy Spirit. God will give you that. He gave a man ability to work a craft. He can give you the ability to balance your checkbook, okay? Listen, give him opportunity. So he gave them, Holy Spirit gave them the ability to be craftsmen. He gave them the ability to be leaders. Deuteronomy 34:9. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him, and the sons of Israel listened to him and did as the Lord. He was a leader. God enabled him through his Spirit to be that. He enabled people to be prophets and teachers. Again, we see this in the New Testament. Have you forgotten? They did that in the Old Testament by the Spirit. Then the Spirit of God came on Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, and he stood up above the people and said to them, thus God has said. He enabled people to do that. Leaders, including warriors. Watch, just the list of some just off the top of my head that I come up with from the Old Testament of how this heading hit every single one of them. Now the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, who was a judge. Samson. By the way, what did Samson do with the Spirit of God? He killed a lion with his bare hands. He tore gates and bars off of a wall and carried them up to the top of a hill. He killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. Not exactly what you think of when you think of gifts of the Holy Spirit. I mean, really, come on. But again, why did the Holy Spirit enable him to do those things? Because that's what was needed. So what does the Holy Spirit do? He enables us to do what God needs us to do, period. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. We lack the church. Listen, lacks nothing because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ. We lack nothing. We lack no enabling. None at all. He wants us to do this. He wants us to do that. He can enable us. Believe him. Trust him. Seek him. He enables most importantly, he enables us to be what we cannot be, and that is change people. See, the world doesn't need miracle workers, or God be making us all miracle workers. What they really need to see is people in whom a miracle has been worked, that a life has been changed, that we're not like everybody else, that we are like everybody else because we make mistakes and we have issues and we have problems. And of course, we're, you know, we're not this exclusive group that we don't, we're not touched by the COVID-19. And I'm bothered by the way, and I don't know how you feel about it. And I guess it doesn't matter now, but some of these churches say we have to all meet together, and they're getting tickets and they're getting censored. And the pastor saying, we have no rights. Listen, guys, I'm all for protecting our rights as United States citizens, and I don't like government telling us what to do. Nonetheless, we're here to bear witness for Christ. We need to ask ourselves the question, is what we're doing furthering the cause of Christ, or just furthering our ability to stand up and say, we have a right to do such and such? We need to be very careful. You see, with all due respect to you, you don't matter. Jesus matters. Your life's going to be soon over, but the cause of Christ is going to endure, and you need to make sure that the little time you've got, the slot you've got, the dash that we call life, what we talked about in this reward series, that you're doing the best you can with the time you've got. You've got one shot at this. Be very careful what you say, the attitudes you portray, because they reflect directly on Him. He's come to give us His Spirit so that we can be different people. Listen to what Samuel says by experience to Saul. He says, then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you mightily, and you shall prophesy with them, and most importantly, be changed into another man. See, that's what we need. This world doesn't need one more group of people who are just like everybody else. One more group of people who are problem causers, not problem solvers. One more group of people who don't have the answers, but who think they do. They need people who truly have the difference, who not only have the difference, but who live the difference, who are the difference, flesh and blood representatives of Christ, literally the body of Christ. So what makes us the body of Christ? Ultimately, listen, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Prior to the coming of the Holy Spirit, they were saved. They were forgiven. They were heaven bound. But the coming of the Holy Spirit turns us into a group of people who are unlike anyone else. And that is what we have to keep focused on. Why did it make such a difference as it did in the book of Acts? Because of the coming of the Holy Spirit. The 12, the disciples, were a bunch of yahoos. Regular people, they put the R in regular. And they turned into irregulars. They turned into spectacular people. Amazing people doing amazing things, and had nothing to do with who they were, but everything with who they had become through the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. Samuel speaks here to Saul in 1 Samuel by experience. Can you? Are you living the full life? Are you? When was the last time you did? Scripture tells us that all we have to do to be filled by the Spirit, to have His Spirit, and we so need to be doing this, we need to ask. Luke 11:13, Jesus' own words, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? The church is already indwelt by the Holy Spirit, but not filled. That's a decision you make. That's a decision. Why would we be commanded in the New Testament to be filled with the Holy Spirit if that was a constant thing? It's not a constant thing. See, the world doesn't need saved people. They need filled people. They need people with a full life. How can we show them what a full life is if we're not actually living that full life ourselves, you see? They need us to be filled. Ask that God would fill you. Ask that God would give you His Holy Spirit, filling you at a time like this, so important that we not be like everybody else, but that we be changed, that we be different. And that only comes through the power of God, through the presence of His Spirit filling our lives. Pray with me, please. God, I thank You for sending us Your Holy Spirit. I thank You for the change that has come upon Your church, and that the church was created through the coming and filling Your Holy Spirit. I thank You, Holy Spirit, that You came to dwell in all of us, not just certain ones, but everyone, all humanity, everyone who submitted to the saving knowledge of Your Son, Jesus. You came and You filled us. Lord, we're asking You to fill us. God, I pray that You would fill those who are listening to me right now. I pray that You would fill the church, Island Baptist Church, to know what is our purpose? What is our place here? What are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to act? How are we supposed to conduct? We need your Holy Spirit. Your Holy Spirit can enable people to tear off a gate or build a building, to speak the truth, to know what the future holds. Your Holy Spirit can enable us to do anything. And so since we really don't know what we need, we don't even know enough to ask God. We're just simply asking your Holy Spirit would come, that he would fill us so that we can know who we're supposed to be in this time, being filled to all the fullness of what you want us to be. Thank you, God, for that abundant life. We claim it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for visiting. Find us at www.islandbaptist.org.